got to use the mic because we record you.
Oh, not a problem.
We put you online.
So I can listen to myself later? So if I have problems sleeping, I can just listen to myself. Well, we're excited about being here. You know, left the pastorate ministry after 34 years in June. And Lizzie and I, in the months following, we've been able to go to preach at different churches, to attend different churches. And it is fun to see the different styles in which people worship the Lord together. Nola Jean, good job. You know, that guitar is almost as big as you are. Yeah, I was thinking that whenever you were playing, but we just enjoyed the worship. And I was thinking to myself, last week we were at one of the largest churches in Broken Arrow. And I had my hand shaken more in this service, 10 times more than I did at that church. Something to be said about small churches and how God uses people in a mighty way. And so I'm just encouraged by being here. And today, coming over, it reminded me, let me get my glasses, I have to have cheaters every once in a while. It reminded me today, I went to NSU for a semester back in the late 70s, early 80s. And I always loved Tahlequah. Such a beautiful town. Plus, I am a card-carrying Cherokee. Yeah, I know I don't look it. But, yeah, I imagine most of us here are. Isn't that right? And so I was impressing my wife this morning with my grasp of the Cherokee language. I had an old Cherokee Indian deacon at Springdale Baptist Church who taught me several words. He taught me Utongehooch, big woman. I don't know how he figured that would work in, but I remember Utongehooch and I remember Degajanula, train. So if there's ever a large woman on a train track, I am there to help save her, I tell you. You really could. Whenever I was, she was like, well, why did he teach you that? And I said, I don't know. But he did. So we drove around town just a little while, and just such a beautiful, beautiful town and area. And I'm looking forward to going back on Highway 51. We took the turnpike coming up. But Highway 51 ought to be beautiful at this time of year. So, and Roger, thank you so much for allowing us to come over and to share this morning. I love every opportunity I get to preach. Since I left the pastorate, I have been serving as a chaplain. And I've served 20 years as a chaplain with the Tulsa Police Department. And so I've done a lot of ministry outside of the local church through the police department. But the last year, I've also been working with Hometown Hospice out of Broken Arrow. I get all kinds of opportunities to share the Lord. Tomorrow, I actually get to do something I haven't done in probably 30 years. I'm preaching a Mormon funeral. And guess what they're going to get? The gospel of Jesus Christ. Yeah, that's right. So anyway, God opens up doors and he creates ways for us to minister. All we have to do is be willing to obey and to follow him. And I love doing that in life. We live in a society. I know y'all didn't come to just hear me espouse about myself. Let me preach. We live in a society that is all about the latest and the greatest. Yesterday I introduced Lizzie, or the other day I introduced Lizzie to a new song. Have y'all heard the one, What Does the Fox Say? Oh, you have to look it up, Roger. Oh, it's funny. Okay. Yeah, but no, ma'am. I'm not real sure how it goes. But we're all about the latest and the greatest. We want to find out what the greatest of this and the greatest of that. So I looked up at a poll online the other day, and I found the greatest movie that's ever been filmed. Anybody got a guess on that one? Great. What's your favorite movie? Lizzie's going to say Bye Bye Birdie. I don't know how that would be classified. But the greatest movie ever recorded, according to this poll, was the movie Casablanca. Casablanca, great movie. Now, the greatest rock song ever recorded, Roger and I, we grew up in the rock era, and the greatest rock song ever recorded, according to this poll, was Bob Dylan's Like a Rolling Stone. Not my favorite. My favorite would be Bachman Turner Overdrive, and it would be Taking Care of Business. Can I get an amen on that one? Linda Ronstadt. Okay. The greatest sports victory was the 1980s United States hockey team in the Olympics defeating the Russians. Remember that in 1980? What a great time that was. The greatest president that's ever been, Abraham Lincoln. I would say I probably agree with that. The greatest hymn. Amazing Grace. Isn't that great? Yeah. Amazing Grace. The greatest book? The Bible. You've got that. Number one bestseller for years upon years upon years. And in the Bible, the shortest verse in the Bible, any of you Bible scholars know that one? Jesus wept, John 11:35. How about the longest verse in the Bible? Anybody want to quote that one to me? No. It's found in Esther 8:9. If you want to look that up later, you can. It's a long one. The shortest chapter in the Bible, Psalm 117. And the longest chapter, 119. Just right there together almost. Well, today I want to share with you about the greatest verse that I find in the Bible. And this is going to be familiar to you, but I want to take a little bit of a different slant on this. The greatest verse in the Bible, I believe, is John 3:16. Look it up. If you have your Bibles, look up John 3:16. You may not need to, but we're going to look through it and see some of the things that makes it so great. John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal, everlasting life." Isn't that a great one? Today I want to share with you four things that I found that makes this the greatest verse. Number one is the greatest love. The greatest love here. It says, "For God so loved the world." Don't lose sight of the fact that the master of the universe, the one who created everything, you know these beautiful trees that we're talking about? The one that created every tree that's ever been and every tree that ever will be loves you. Isn't that exciting? I grew up at Red Fork Baptist Church over on the west side, and my Sunday school teachers used to teach me that where it says, "For God so loved the world," that I could put my name in there. "For God so loved Randy." That is a great love. And God loved me, and it's interesting, God loved me before I loved him. Isn't that great? It says in Romans chapter 5, it says, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." That means even before I started loving God, that God loved me already. That God already gave his Son, Jesus Christ, for me. I love that. Whenever you start talking about the greatest love, and we've got all kinds of stories about love, but the greatest love stories are the stories of God and how that he loved us and that how he accepts us, loves us just the way we are. I didn't have to change for God to love me. God loved me anyway. And guess what? God does the changing in my life. So the greatest love. Number two. The greatest gift. It says that he gave his one and only, his only begotten Son. That's the way it says in the King James, one and only Son. The only Son that he had, God gave as a gift for us. I ran across a story a while back. In 1989, Don Shear, you probably have never heard of Don Shear, but he lived in Atlanta, Georgia. He went to a garage sale. Anybody ever go to garage sales? I don't allow Liz to go garage selling. I always tell her, we don't need other people's junk. We got enough junk of our own. But he went to a garage sale in the Atlanta area, and he saw a frame, an old picture, and it had a frame that he liked the frame, so he bought the picture for the frame for $4. When Don got home, he started taking the picture apart, and he discovered behind the picture was a piece of wood. And behind the wood was an old piece of paper. He unfolded the old piece of paper, and actually it was parchment. And he discovered that he had one of the 500 original copies of the Declaration of Independence. He discovered that in this $4 frame that he bought. Well, guess what? Don Shear, much like most of us, sold that copy of the Declaration of Independence for $2.4 million. You see, the gift that Don purchased there at that garage sale became infinitely greater in value because of what was hidden. The gift of Jesus Christ became infinitely more valuable because of who he is, the one and only Son. Oh, the greatest gift that's ever been given. I've received some great gifts in my lifetime. I really have. But I want to tell you, the greatest gift that's ever been given for me was the gift of Jesus Christ. That God loved me that much that he gave his one and only Son. So we've got the greatest love. We've got the greatest gift. By the way, my sermons are simple. Okay? I think if you're not teaching simple, then something's wrong with you. Keep it simple, stupid is what they used to tell me. Okay? The greatest faith. The greatest faith. Check it out. It says that whoever believes in him. The world is full of faith, isn't it? Let me show you one of the greatest faiths that we have in modern society. What do we call these things over here on the wall? Light switches. How many times you go into a room, flip the light switch on, and you don't ever have a moment's hesitation about whether that light's going to come on or off, do you? Yeah, you all are pretty sure if I flip this off, it's going to go off, right? I know it is because Roger did it just a little while ago. He flipped them off, and they went off. Flip them on, they come on. We have faith in a light switch. How many times has the power been out and you go into a room and you instinctively reach up and you flip the power switch on and nothing happens? It just shocks us. We have faith in power switches. We have faith. Lizzie and I, on the way back to Tulsa today, we're taking Highway 51. I've driven Highway 51 many, many times. I have faith that everybody's going to stay on their side of the yellow line. Isn't that true? What happens if somebody decides to come on my side of the yellow line? We've got a problem. We've got a big problem. We have faith in people to do certain things. Well, folks, when it comes to having faith in Jesus Christ, it's that same kind of faith, but also elevated to the greatest faith. The faith that says no matter what happens, no matter how life goes, no matter how we approach the situations in our life, is that we have faith in God. We have faith in God. I deal with people dying all the time. I have preached more funerals this year than I've ever preached any year in my ministry. I'm talking about a lot of funerals. I deal with people dying all the time. I've got a man right now who is dying of cancer, and just the other day, I got to go and share with him the Lord Jesus Christ. And this gentleman accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior probably within 2 or 3 months of his death. He is not going to be with us very long. Praise the Lord that he did that. Isn't that great? And the faith that he has in God is the same faith that I have in God. You see, I was saved whenever I was 21 years old. I grew up in the church. I knew all about God. But I kept putting off the decision of following the Lord Jesus Christ until I was 21 years old. And interesting, it really came to a boil because of the death of my grandfather and also a very bad traffic accident that I was in with a couple of my friends. Greg Journey was one of them. You remember Greg? Okay. And Kevin Dolan. Yeah, we were in a traffic accident and should have killed us, and it didn't. And I said, Lord, this is silly. I'm not going to play around anymore. And I put my faith, I put my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ on March 21st, 1979. I trusted him forever and ever. And that faith that I put in God has lasted for these 34 years. But folks, it's going to last for eternity. Whenever I get to heaven, my faith, according to It Is Well With My Soul, remember that song? My faith will be sight. I don't have to believe anymore in God because I'm going to see him. Now we have faith in the assurance, you know, the assurance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But whenever I get to heaven, oh, wow, it's going to be a little bit different. I get to see God himself. I get to see his Son. I get to see heaven that we've been talking about for so many years. You know, that mansion that I have prepared, that God's prepared for me in heaven, I get to see it. Isn't that neat? I love that. That's the great faith that we find in John 3:16. And that's the faith that the world is missing today. They put faith in things like light switches and yellow lines. They put faith in people like Miley Cyrus. Oh, I knew. I figured I'd get a chuckle on that one. You know, I remember Hannah Montana. And I thought, what a good Christian young lady. But folks, I'm not judging whether she's a Christian or not, but I'm just saying I don't put my faith in people. I put my faith in God. And whenever we as a people start doing that, whenever we as individuals start doing that, that's whenever we see the world change one at a time. You know, the Bible says it like this in Romans chapter 10, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it's with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it's with your mouth that you confess and are saved. Oh, I love that verse. I love that. All right, so we're talking about the greatest love that we have, this great faith that we have, this greatest gift that was given. There's one more. I told you there were four. The next one's the greatest lie. It says that we shall not perish but have everlasting eternal life. Let me ask you a question. When did your eternal life begin? For me, my eternal life began on March 21st, 1979. You see, before March 21st, 1979, I was destined for hell. I was bound for hell. I was a pretty good guy, but I wasn't saved. But on that day, actually it was that night, I remember real clearly, that night laying in bed, I asked Jesus Christ to change me forever, and he started eternity for me. From that day forward, I don't have to worry about death. Will death happen? Unless the Lord comes again in my lifetime, yeah, I'm going to die. But for the Christian, death is, and I like whenever I talk to people who are dying, I like this phrase. For those who know Jesus Christ as personal Savior, death is a hiccup. You ever think about that? Death is just a momentary stoppage in our, quote, life. But then the Bible says that when we're absent from the body, we're present with the Lord. So my eternity actually began the day I was saved and continues throughout all eternity. And God has given me not only a great life to look forward to in the future, God has given me a fantastic life to live here. Oh, I love that. I love it that I don't just live for the great by and by. But I get to live a fantastic life here upon this earth. And God gets to use me in ways that I would never imagine. And he does that for each of us who knows Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You say, Randy, you know, God's not called me to be a preacher. The greatest Christians that I've ever met were not preachers. Isn't that right, Roger? Yeah, you ought to be around a bunch of pastors. Man, they're kind of braggadocious. Yeah. No, the greatest Christians that I've ever met have been the ones who you don't know much about. You don't hear much about. They're not on TV. They're not writing books. But they're praying faithfully. They're reading their scriptures every day. They are living for God in their workplace, at their home, wherever God has put them. And they're making a difference in people's lives, one person at a time. You see, I believe our country is going the wrong way. I believe our country is spiraling downward. And I could give you a case in point, you know, everything from abortion to homosexuality, you know, everything like that. But you don't legislate Christianity. You don't change the laws and make it illegal to be married in a homosexual marriage. You change people one person at a time by sharing the Lord Jesus Christ with them. That's that great life. And I want people to look at my life. And I want people to say, you know, there's something different about Randy. I want to be like him. And whenever they ask me, what's different about you? It's not that, you know, I'm a fantastic guy, which I really am. It's not that just that I'm married to a wonderful woman, which I really, oh, she said, yes, you are. Yeah. But the greatest thing in my life is my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lizzie would tell you that too. The thing that we have in common, the bond that holds us together, is our Lord. And it's because of this great life that he's given us. You see, Jesus said it, that I have come that they might have life and have it to its fullest, have an abundant life. And that's what God calls us to do, is to have this abundant life. And then whenever people see us, whenever people start paying attention to how we're living our lives, folks, they start to get an inkling of what that great life is all about. And that's how we're going to change our country. One person at a time, coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. We don't do it 1,000 people or 10,000 people at a time. You do it one person at a time. You were saved, if you know Christ as your Savior, one person at a time. And that's the way our world is going to be changed. You know, John 3:16, I believe, if I remember correctly, has 26 words in it. 26 words, but yet it's the greatest verse in the Bible, because in those 26 little words, I believe that the gospel of Jesus Christ is encompassed fully. If I could only share one passage of Scripture with a group of people, this would be the one I would do. And you know who else agrees with me? This little preacher out of North Carolina by the name of Billy Graham. You ever listen to Billy Graham? He has preached John 3:16 for 60 years. The greatest verse. How many people have come to know Jesus as their Savior because of the greatest verse, John 3:16? Folks, this morning, if you're here and you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, my first thing is, please, today, come to know Him. Ask Him into your heart. Roger, do we have an invitation? Okay. We're going to have an invitation. Invite you to ask Jesus into your heart. But I'm looking around, and I'm probably looking at the backbone of your church. You know, you all are here day in, day out. I know. If you're here today, and you know Christ as your Savior, but maybe there's somebody in your life that needs to know Him, I'm going to ask during this invitation for you to pray for that person. For Lizzie and me, our big prayer right now is her mom. Her mom does not know Christ as her Savior, raised Catholic, never have met Christ. She's just now getting out of the hospital, getting out of the nursing home. And we're praying that God would change her. If you don't have anybody else to pray for Agnes Horn. She would be saved, that God would soften up her heart. But pray for those that you know that need to know Christ, because a little group like this, you know, we start praying and believing, we can see God changing people's lives. And you know, it was a spark in a revival of a group about this size that started the Christian church, whenever Jesus' disciples got on fire for the Lord. God can work great miracles. I think He still does. Let's stand together. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Father, I thank You so much for John 3:16. Thank You for speaking to us through this simple verse. Lord, for helping us to realize that You are the great gift. And Lord, if there's someone here that doesn't know You as their Savior, I pray that today they would come to know You, they would accept You. But Father, also, I pray for boys and girls and men and women that we know that need to know You as their Savior, that need to have that eternal life. Lord, I pray that You would touch them in a mighty way and help them to be the witness You've called us to be. Lord, that's the invitation that we open for Your church today. Please speak in a mighty way. In Jesus' name we pray. Your head's still bowed and your eyes still closed. Brother Roger's going to be here at the front. If you need to make a decision, won't you come even now? No, Jim's going to ask you to just pray. If you would, won't you come even now?
Praise God. Thank you, Randy. You do a great job. You know, we can never, ever, ever take for granted God's wondrous love. And March 21st, 1979. Well, about 8 months later, on November 21st, 1979, in Bellevue, Nebraska, this little preacher got saved. God knew what he was doing back in 1979, didn't he? And, you know, going to add to my brother's sermon. Not that it needs adding to, but and he really said it. He just didn't say it. The greatest day for him, March 21st. For me, November 21st. For you, you have your great day. And, you know, if we forget anything, we have to remember that great day was a great day because it changed me in a way that nothing else ever could. I mean, I heard one preacher say it's like taking a shower on the inside. It's the most glorious experience that you can ever imagine when Jesus Christ comes into your heart. It's just wonderful. And you know, sometimes we get lax in praying for our unsaved loved ones because we forget, we get selfish. We remember our great day, but we forget they need their great day. Amen? And I think we're all saved here this morning, but you know, the point is we do need to travail. We do need to intercede. We do need to stand in the gap for our unsaved loved ones because they need their great day. They need to meet this great Savior. They need to understand this great love. They need to experience this great revelation that Brother Randy shared with us this morning. They need their great day. And so we need to just, as if we're, you know, the invitation is for us to receive the Lord, but I'm just adding to that. I just invite you, I challenge you this week to just take it up a notch, to intercede for Liz's mom, for your unsaved loved ones, for all of this, because God can do great things. You know, God can do nothing until we pray, but he can do everything after we pray. And so as we begin to stand in the gap and make up the hedge and begin to pray and intercede, I am confident that the God of the universe is able to pull down those strongholds and begin to loose the power of the Holy Spirit to bring conviction and that still small voice drawing them to the foot of the cross so that they can know their great day. Amen. Amen. Father, as we begin to close, we lift up our unsaved loved ones to you. We ask, Lord, that you just send forth your Holy Spirit and that you draw them to the foot of the cross so that they can have their great day, Lord, as they bow their heart and their life and their mind and they quit running from God and quit rebelling from God and they finally come to that place where they just surrender it all, just to give it all to you, just to lay it all at the foot of the cross and say, thou hast conquered, O Nazarene. I give it all to you today, Jesus. I give it to you afresh. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Thank you for coming. Be sure and give someone a big hug before you go. And be sure and greet our guests. Let them know how much they minister to you. Thank you.